Yeah, time to catch up with Trent Thomas from Media Week. We do that each and every Monday to have a look at all the viewing numbers from the weekend sporting action. He's on the line right now. G'day, Trent.
Hey, Julian. How's it going?
Going very well. You know, I wondered if the F1 numbers would have come in. I love Silverstone. It's a nice, fast circuit. The race started at midnight. Did those numbers come in on time?
Yeah, I didn't think we would. I warned you we probably wouldn't have them, but the F1 numbers for Britain have come in at 85,000, which is pretty outstanding numbers.
That is huge.
For an international sport at midnight.
Oh, what about that
people
crash? Did you see that? Red flag.
People tuned in. They got a big crash for their work tuning in. But yeah, the midnight slot was pretty favourable compared to a lot of what Aussie F1 fans are offered.
So yeah,
5,000 people.
Well, I mean, those races in the Americas, you know, they start at 5 a.m. It sort of doesn't particularly suit me. I think I prefer a midnight start. Do you think that the viewing numbers are tied to the fortunes of, say, a Daniel Ricciardo, or is it more just their diehard rusted on F1 fans?
I think it's diehard rusted on F1 fans, considering he's had a pretty
shocking
year. You'd have to say that the numbers have just been really strong. I think, especially, I think a lot of it can be tied back to Drive to Survive on Netflix, and with the how close last year was. I think people are interested in the competition. I think people always like to see an Australian do well, but the numbers would indicate that despite Ricciardo's average year, that people are tuning in as much as ever to watch the F1. Mm. Motorsport in general has had a good year, but F1's really led the way. 85,000 is double what some domestic sports do in prime time, and it's doing that at midnight, so pretty impressive numbers.
Yeah, without question. Now, there's a report today that 10 Paramount are looking to shell out, to the tune of $3 billion over 6 years for the AFL?
Yeah, so that'd be an increase of $500 million over the last deal that AFL signed with Seven and Fox Sports. Then they'd be looking to take it off of Foxtel and put it on Paramount Plus and then do the free-to-air games on 10. So big swing from them. It would be a record TV rights deal. It would blow previous stuff out of the water. Mm. I think Seven and Fox Sports still considered the favourites, but I don't think Ten's not going to be outbid.
Well, the thing about Ten, you know, it's interesting because you know that they went in hard for the cricket rights and they believed they had a handshake deal. And in hindsight, I reckon if Cricket Australia, Trent, had their time again, they would have seriously considered the 10 bid. And I think across the six-year period of the broadcast deal, it would have worked out about $20 to $30 million less per year. But it would have had all the white ball games on free-to-air TV and not behind a paywall.
Yeah. And I think as well, your 10 might come sniffing around for the cricket rights again with everything that's going on with them and Channel 7. But if they get the AFL, they might be tapped out. So there's a lot of flow-on effects, I think. You know, if 10 spends the $3 billion on the AFL, are they going to put their hands in their pockets for any other sporting rights, or are they going to continue to try to rack things up? They've got that big budget from an international parent company in Paramount. So they're in and they can also offer the AFL more international avenues as well. So it'll be interesting. This story has been bubbling for a while, but it just hasn't gone away. Ten's dead serious about these AFL rights.
Yeah, it's a huge asset to have, isn't it, having that global parent company. Now, the UFC was on yesterday. Great win to Alex Volkanovski. And now, just tell us about this double booking with the WWE.
Yeah, so the UFC fight was obviously huge. It had Volkanovski, the Australian, and I also had Adesanya, the Kiwi, which saw the WWE recently moved their pay-per-views to Saturdays in the US from Sundays, which has now meant there'll be regular clashes with the UFC. And both were actually in Vegas over the weekend as well, so very similar. But Fox Sports made a decision to keep the UFC a main event, and they moved the WWE pay-per-view to Fox 8. So it was the first time that it was aired outside of main event and a pay-per-view like that. But it didn't. We don't have numbers on it because it didn't make the top 200 shows for the night, for the day. So
UFC, that is, or the WWE?
WWE. Yeah. We don't have main event sale numbers.
Yeah, okay.
But this is the first time we've seen WWE engagement numbers or an indication of them, because it's been put on the normal
Right, okay. And didn't make the top 200. Fox. See, that surprises me.
Didn't make the top 200.
Oh, I thought it was pretty big, WWE.
Yeah, and that's something that's normally worth $50 a pop they were given out for your base Foxtel subscription. But one thing to keep in mind is WWE has what's called the network, which is their version of Netflix, and it's $15 a month. So most wrestling fans have transitioned to that a few years ago. And don't use Main Event anymore, which is another reason why they would have run the UFC over WWE, is because UFC and boxing don't have the alternatives that wrestling has when it comes to cheaper options of streaming these premium events. But they would have made a, you think, a mint on the UFC being on Main Event, especially with Volkanovski and Holloway 3.
Yeah. All right, let's have a look at Wimbledon. We know during the Australian Open, where Nick Kyrgios plays a night session, he garners massive numbers, unfriendly hours for his match against Stefanos Tsitsipas. But in, overall, how are the viewing numbers for Wimbledon for the Nine Network?
Pretty solid. Like, it's a brutal time difference, as you said, but non-Kyrgios nights, you see about 100,000. Kyrgios, you see about 200.
So it just doubles. So it's amazing. Doubles.
And the he's if he can get through this quarterfinal, he's got a potentially a big semi-final, Rafael Nadal, so you can imagine the numbers there will go quite high.
Well, I mean, potential quarterfinal with another Australian, Alex de Minaur. So I'd imagine good returns there. And while we're talking about the Nine Network too, Trent, one last one. Wallabies in England. It was great to see the Wallabies back in the winner's circle against their arch rivals, defeating them in Perth on Saturday night. You know, they used to be a real mainstay of the Australian sporting environment. You know, rugby's just fallen off the radar somewhat. But how many tuned into this on free-to-air?
412,000, which was pretty solid number, yeah. So I think they would have been happy. I think the Wallabies still draw. It's Super Rugby where they have the issues. People still care about international rugby. The domestic version is one they've still got to grow. But I think they'd be pretty happy with 412. And I think the number, historically, you'd expect a larger number for when they play New Zealand.
True.
And they're encouraging numbers leading into a, in a, they've got a, what they're calling the golden decade for rugby, with a Lions tour and a World Cup coming up in the next cycle. So
That's going to be massive. It'll be massive. The other thing there, too, competed with Super Saturday, the Rugby League on the Fox Network, and this is the thing. Like, I would watch both ordinarily, but you find yourself switching between the two, and whether, you know, the league being on at the same time potentially chewed in to the Wallabies ratings.
Yeah, I think they would have liked to run this last week in rep round. If they had their time over, they would have had a bit more clear air to run it on a Saturday, because they would have just had the international matches on Fox League. But they went up against the regular rugby league round. But 412, is a good solid number for a Saturday night, where Saturday nights are historically the hardest nights to garner strong ratings, which is why there's no free-to-air NRL matches on Saturday nights, because Friday nights and Sundays are generally where the money is. So 412 on a Saturday, definitely nothing to sneeze at. And it's a great combination for Nine, having international rugby sandwiched between the NRL.
Yeah, indeed. All right, Trent, thank you so much. We'll catch you next week.
Awesome. Thank you, Julian.
There he is. Trent Thomas from Media Week.